Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today we have a fabulous director who filmed Spent. Everybody needs to see it. It's a comedy. It has a movie theater. We all like movies here. Please watch it. Introduce yourself today, Lisa.
Mkhitaryan.
There you go. What origin of last name is that, by the way?
Well, it's the I married an Armenian man,
He
came with that last name. But since I got rid of the maiden name Heidensteker, you know, I can't really ding him too badly because I lost three letters.
Oh my God, I don't think I could even attempt to spell that.
I know.
That's awesome. That's a great last name. Nobody would ever forget you.
Yeah.
So you decided to make an indie film. I'm going to ask you why.
Because the opportunity presented itself and I couldn't say no. I had really, this all started because I just wanted to learn how to write a script. I'm a storyteller by trade, but I had never written a script. I had been busy raising kids and writing short stories. And a small publisher in Tennessee said that they would publish this collection of short stories and asked me to do a promo video for it. And my daughter knew somebody who was in video, and so he made this really great little promo video. And it was such a fascinating process. And I'm really visual, so it just fascinated me. And I ended up turning one of the short stories into a little short film. It was terrible. all I did was just write out this mini script, but I realized I really don't know how to write a script. So a friend who was a film student offered to show me the mechanics, and he gave me the prompt of, you know, write a screenplay about a miser who is on his deathbed, and while he's on his deathbed, his wife and his family spends his money, but then he has a miraculous cure. And I said, okay. So I wrote the screenplay and never really imagining that it would be shot. I thought it might shot very, very small and locally, like on an iPhone with me behind watching with an umbrella. But when a cinematographer from LA, I was out in rural Virginia. No, there was some filming going on there, but very little. And David Doko from California, he came out. He was working on a project, I think, for Lockheed. Anyway, we connected somehow. He read the script, and he offered to shoot it. And that's where I say, I couldn't say no. I mean, when does an opportunity like that come along? And so he told me what to study to be a director, and I did my studying to the best, you know, of my ability, and we, like 2 months later, we were shooting a film.
That's great.
Yeah.
So being a first-time director, before I get into your film, how'd you feel at getting the equipment, getting the actors?
The equipment was challenging. I had to go to West Virginia to find equipment because the thing is that when David came on board, he said what he wanted to get out of it was just a furthering of his own career. So we couldn't do things like completely on no budget because then the quality of what we produced would show that and it wouldn't help his career any. So I had to get like a real lighting crew and a real sound crew. And we didn't have anything like that right in our area. But, you know, before I knew it, one person knew another person and it kind of just led to way. And I ended up with a really fantastic lighting crew. And they didn't have like all the huge big budget pieces of equipment, but they had made their own things like out of PVC pipes, their own dollies. And it was just a really neat mix of can-do MacGyvering and professionalism, because they definitely knew what they were doing in the lighting department.
Well, that's great. It does help.
Yeah.
Your locations, where did you shoot this? It looks like a very rural town to me at some point.
It is. It's in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. Most of it was shot in Shenandoah County, Woodstock, and Edinburgh. And that's where we live, is there, in that little tiny community.
I figured as much. I would have guessed that this is where you live, just by...
Yes.
Just because of the locations you got.
Yeah, the community was just fantastically generous. Any place that I needed, they opened their doors. So, and I kind of knew that as I was writing the script, so I was able to, you know, just incorporate those locations right into the script. And, I look at those locations even now watching it, and it's just unbelievable. The like the car dealership, I didn't actually have that one in hand when we started, and that fell out of the sky. And so did the Schumacher house. And in fact, I don't know if you'll notice, but there's an S on the screen door in front of the Schumacher house.
Yes, it's very one scene, you can see it for sure, right near the end.
Yes, and that was a complete coincidence. So the locations were, they really helped, I think, with production value, making it look, you know, like a bigger budget than I had.
Okay, it does. Okay, that's great. So let's get into some of the locations before we even get into your film yet. That car location, okay. Is that really exist? The guy selling all those old cars?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And you would think that he would be so overly protective of these cars, but he isn't. He loves them and he shares them with the community. He lets teenagers take them out for prom.
So he doesn't sell them, or he does sell them?
He does sell them.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He sells them, but he just really wants to share his passion with people around him.
And I have to ask about the movie theater, since we are a movie podcast.
Yeah.
What's it like inside? Because you don't show me much, which really upset me, because I wanted a shot of inside. Not that you needed one at any time. I needed it.
It's a really old movie theater, and it has just had one of the theater rooms converted to digital. And it's in need. It's beginning to get repaired. And in fact, we're doing a free screening in February 3rd, I think, to raise money, you know, for that movie theater. But it's just, it's beautiful and old and convenient and just a real landmark right there in our town.
Oh, I think so too. I think it's beautiful. I love old movie theaters. So you suck me in on that one. And the last location I really want to discuss is the, I don't know the scene. It's an antique store.
Oh, it's the vintage store.
The vintage store. I knew it had a name above it, because you do definitely show the name, and then they walk in, and it's in and out. They're in quick in the scene. Like, they go right into the store and then they come out and then you cut.
That's Flopsy's, and my friend Sharon Islerow, she owns that shop and has been collecting all of those baubles and hats and everything for years and years and years, and that's one of my favorite scenes. We call it the hat scene.
Well, that's what I have written down in my notes. I have lots of costume jewelry and lots of hats. So if you're calling it the hat scene, I'll totally give it to you, because that's what my note says.
Yeah, it was just a fun place to shoot. And, you know, and with a name like Flopsies, it was kind of funny that Gregory, our villain, would own a shop called Flopsies. But I didn't even ask her, like, if I could change the name just for the film. I thought, no, it's just too funny and perfect the way it is.
No, I like the store. I thought it worked perfectly for the shots. I did quite enjoy that. Okay, so yeah. Let's get into the film. We've discussed the locations, all the fun. Oh, last thing we didn't discuss, budget. What was your budget?
Yes. Well, I still kind of choke a little bit when I talk about the budget because we really had no idea what we were getting into. And I say we, my husband and I.
Yeah, because you both produced it and wrote it, I think, if I remember on the credits.
Pardon me?
Didn't you guys both produce it or write it on the credits?
I did, like, all the production, on-set production work. And, I mean, we're a husband and wife, so it's our money. But I say he's my executive producer.
Yes, you do.
But we didn't know what we were really getting into in the beginning financially. But once we had committed, we were all in. You know, we had to. And that went from really production and post-production. I, of course, did not realize how expensive post-production would be.
That's where it is.
But by that time, it's like, well, what do you do now? Just you have this thing and you don't complete it the best that you can complete it within reason. And we weren't going to do that. So in the end, it was about a $70,000 project.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That blew me away. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, and a lot of that came, you know, because a huge chunk of that was post-production. And, you know, music, we didn't go with, stock music. So there was studio time and paying musicians. And, you know, it just keeps adding up up and up.
Okay, well, let's start there because you've got a perfect intro. Okay. Your opening shot, establishing shot, the small bed, I thought, for the large guy in it. I thought he was too big for that bed.
Yes.
And was that is that the only bed you had, or you just did it for comedy, or?
Well, I did it because here is this grown 23-year-old who's still living in his childhood room.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, so and in fact, if you know, you'll see a living room scene where they're slumped over furniture that's really not big enough for any of them.
Yes.
And they're cramped at a kitchen table that's not big enough for any of them. And they're stuck in a bathroom that's not big enough for any of them.
Was that all in that same house you shot in? So this is all the same house?
Yes, it's all the same house.
Okay. Now, my question is, where did you get that great opening number music?
We have a friend, James F. Cotton Jr., who is just a brilliant musician. And originally I had wanted another song and I couldn't get the rights to it. So, you know, I had asked him if he would do the music, the score in general, and then if he could write the song. And he did. And Bob McDonald, who sings for, is it the United States Army Band? He sings like the national anthem everywhere. He's a big, big voice. He came into the studio and he recorded the song that we wrote.
Well, it's fantastic. I absolutely love that song. I saw it sent the mood for the whole film right there off the beginning.
Thank you. I agree. I love that scene and the music that goes with it. And it's big.
Because I wrote the getting dressed scene was great. I thought that music and him getting dressed. My other question is, he's got earbuds and hair gel at the same time? They don't mix.
Well, you're probably right there. And if you had been on the set, I would have given that some thought.
Okay, because I thought that was kind of strange. I'm like, I love my earbuds. I listen to them all the time, but I don't think I can put hair gel in my earbuds in for fear of getting them in the buds.
No, probably not.
And okay, and then you advance. I'm going to go a little bit through the film. Don't worry, I won't ruin the end.
It's okay.
Okay, and the scene with the little girls outside the movie theater selling the lemonade?
Yes, root beer.
Oh, root beer. I apologize, root beer. Is it 4th of July in the town, or is that day 4th of July?
It's the 4th of July weekend, and it's okay. The 3rd of July.
Okay, I wasn't really sure on that, so it's kind of like that. I really liked her. I thought she looked a little intimidated at times during her shooting. But yes. It worked because she's so young.
Yes, and she does modeling work, and that was her first film work. So, but I thought she really rose to the occasion. And, I mean, and she's just, like, as darling as a button, you know?
Yes.
Her name is Anna Grace Padgett, and her mom is just terrific in just helping her to relax and, deliver her lines.
She looked very nervous. Nothing against her. She could just tell she was, like, not comfortable.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I expect that from her. Like, I know it's a very indie film. I'm like, it's probably her first role. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go. I'm letting it go. I'm just like, oh, she's nervous. I can tell. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I figure, you know, it was a first for a lot of us. I mean, there was a mix of people who had experience and people where this was their very first experience in filmmaking, and that includes me, you know. So even though I tried to direct the best I could, I wasn't really a hard ass because people were just doing the best they could, all of us.
I mean, I think your setting has a lot to do with that. It sounds like a nice, quiet town. You sound a very relaxed person. I can't see you being a demanding person. Maybe you are to your husband. He would argue with me. But, I mean, just in general, like, the film's very relaxed.
I'm really glad that goes through.
Like, I mean, people are doing their job. I get it's a comedy. Just, you got to let it flow. It's supposed to be an absurdist comedy, right? I took it
yes.
That way. Okay, good. So I'm on.
Yes.
So then.
Yep, you're on it.
And then I think the character's name is Margot. Because I wrote, did you dress her in all vintage clothing?
Yes.
Okay. So that all came from Flopsies then?
A lot of that came from Flopsies.
Okay, I did notice she was in vintage clothes 24/7.
I don't know exactly why I went there.
Okay.
But
I think it works for her. I like her look.
Yeah, it felt like, because as I said, when we started the project, it was just for me to learn how to write a screenplay, so I wasn't concentrating on story the way I would be normally if I were just writing a regular story. I was really concentrating a lot on the mechanical structure of a screenplay. And so when we were getting ready to shoot, I thought the script, it was a simple script. It's a simple story. And how do I just make this fun, like really fun? And I happen to love vintage things. And so that's just the route we went. And I think it really worked for the entirety, because it is a small town. And a lot of times small towns they're set back a little bit in the past.
Oh, I agree. My cottage is in a small town, and I totally accept that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not that they're backwards or uneducated or anything like that. It's just the charm that comes with some of that.
Absolutely. So I have a DVD store in my small town where my cottage is.
Yeah.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is this here? This is so 10 years ago. Nobody has these anymore, but that's all good. I wrote Dr. Rogers looks very young.
She looks very young.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably true, too.
Okay. I just figured that was just an acting choice. You're like, okay, this person wants to do it. Here you go.
Yeah, I think she was a prodigy. So
it's possible. I'll give it to her.
Yes.
Then you switch from color to black and white.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I switched for a couple of reasons. One, because there's an abrupt change of mood when mother and son realize that dear old dad is not going to die.
Oh, yeah, and for sure. So you're going gloomy. So I'm supposed to take that as the happiness is over, and then we're going to the gloom section?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But it just so happened that it conveniently coincided also with very ugly, ugly hospital fluorescent lighting.
Ah, okay.
And so when we were looking at the lighting and deciding what do we do with the scene, because it just didn't look pretty. And I kind of thought, well, you know what? This is also a real change of mood. Let's go to black and white here. And it worked. It would have worked a little bit better, but we cut part of the scene with Dr. Rogers where you see Evelyn put her head down on Lonnie's shoulder in dismay. And originally, that's where we had the transition that went from color to black and white. So it was a transition instead of just an abrupt change.
Okay. So, yeah, I do make notes. See, I told you wouldn't like these. I think the family house has lots of furniture. So when you're shooting in this house, did you move furniture?
The house was empty.
It was empty.
It was empty, and I completely staged that house.
Oh, my God. Well, you put a lot of furniture in there. I wrote notes, lots of furniture. How much work was that?
How much, what was that?
They put all that furniture in there.
Well, that was my husband and my son. They moved, they did the heavy moving.
Oh, my God. I feel sorry for them. That's a lot of stuff.
But we, actually, it was minimum. I thought it was, I didn't put anything in that house that wouldn't be used. You know, there was maybe a table and a lamp.
Yeah, but no, I guess just maybe it's the way you shot it. It looks more, it's more cramped than spacious.
Yeah.
And maybe that's and what it sounds like you were going for, so that works.
Yeah. Yeah, and taking it all down, by the way, is not as much fun as putting it all up.
It never is. Never, ever is.
No.
Okay, what is Gregory doing in the gym? I couldn't figure that one out.
Gregory, he's an idiot.
Okay. That's what I took him as, so I was fine. I'm like, what's he trying to do?
Yeah, no, he has an inflated ego.
Well, that's evident.
Yes. So he thinks, you know, he's just all hotness in that gym, lifting the 2-pound weight.
Yes.
And that scene came to me. We had to figure out where to shoot his telephone scene there. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, let's just do it in this other spare room. And I'm like, no, we got to make it count for something. And so I called the gym right downtown and they let us in that night. Like we had that scene done in, you know, 2 hours, which was remarkably fast for us. But it was a last minute insert.
Oh, okay. See, the rat poison boxes. Well, whose idea was that?
The what?
The rat poison boxes.
Oh.
Because they don't look real to me. If they are real rat poison boxes, I'm impressed. But they look like fake rat poison boxes.
They were very fake. I ordered boxes from one company and labels that you could custom make from another company, and I slapped the two together.
Okay. Rat poison in the donuts. Whose idea was that to use donuts? Because obviously that, the dad wants donuts, so that was the whole point.
Right. Yeah, that would be me too. And it kind of worried my husband. But you know where that probably came from? You're asking this. I think where that came from was this messed up story I read when I was a teenager called Flowers in the Attic, where the mother was poisoning yes. her children.
That's where it came for me from. I'm like, nobody uses yes. it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, that's where it probably came from.
Okay. I've read that book years ago.
Yes.
Oh, one of the lines I like that you wrote in, not the most interesting word in the American lexicon.
Yes.
That's a pretty studious statement, I thought. I was like, wow, that didn't.
You know, I was kind of, in addition to the wardrobe and the set, I was trying to mimic some of the way people spoke, you know, in the 50s too, which was much more formal. There wasn't very much sarcasm, and I don't know if people noticed, but there's like almost no sarcasm in this movie at all.
None. Zero. None. I will back you up.
Yeah, it is played straight. They do not know how ridiculous their situations are. They're not thinking they're funny, and there's no – so part of that was in the language of you know, of the characters that I, you know, when I watch old movies, they just seem to speak a little more formally than, you know, we do now.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I love to see the husband was talking to the neighbor. Made me laugh so hard.
Yes.
When he's having that yeah. bad garage sale, because I love garage selling, looking for old movies and things I haven't seen. And I'm like, it's just like a senior's garage sale. Nobody wants to buy anything there. They should just throw the stuff out, and I couldn't stop laughing. So you got to explain to me how you decided that scene and where did the stuff come from.
The stuff came from a guy named Drew Alexander, who is a movie fanatic, and he offered to outfit the garage sale table, the yard sale table for me. And I said, yes, thank you. So he got all that stuff. And I'm trying to remember why I wrote that scene.
Oh, I think you want, I could, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wrote it because, you know, in this story, I really don't try to make anybody out to be a bad guy. You know, money issues are hard, marriage issues are hard, family issues are hard, and I wasn't trying to manipulate which way you think about these things, but, you know, kind of give both sides of it. And so the yard sale is an opportunity for Herbert to kind of talk about things from a man's perspective.
I got that impression.
You know, and it may seem old-fashioned, but a lot of that hasn't changed.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, so I can't remember why I chose a yard sale really for the life of me, but that's what I did.
I took it for the fact that we don't really know Herbert, and this is really his first appearance, other than yeah. getting up, and we need to know about him and what he likes and what he does. And his motivations, yes. And that's the way I took that scene.
Right, and yeah, because Evelyn had her scene, her phone conversation with Trudy.
Yes.
That kind of gives you an insight into, you know, her background and history. So it was, there's a lot of symmetry in the movie, you know, even with Evelyn and Lonnie, you know, they're on different paths, but they're parallel. And so I think maybe it was my inexperience with writing a screenplay that doing it symmetrically felt like I had some kind of structure that I was familiar with for the story to unfold.
Oh, great. I do have other questions. The pizza, is that a real pizza place? I presume it was?
Yes.
Hey, was there pizza in the box? I always want to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Did the crew get to eat the pizza?
Yes, they did.
See, these are questions I have. I ask these fun questions. I find it funny that the son didn't know what kind of pizza his dad liked, and they screwed that all up. And that's kind of like the climax of the movie there, the screwing up of the pizza.
Yeah, and that was another way that the son and the father were similar, because at one point the mom says, you know, you two have more in common than you think.
Yes.
And the son at one point was like, you know, dad can't keep any of that straight. But the truth was that Lonnie couldn't keep any of it straight either.
You are correct. Okay, I do have a question. Why are they always running? Lonnie is always running everywhere.
He is, and I thought that because I had written this thing the way I had written, and several critics have talked about the pacing of the movie, how it was too slow. I think if I had had them walking, it would have even slowed that pace down more. So I think I was doing it, I had them doing it, you know, for a sense of urgency and just to help with maybe an illusion of good pacing. I don't know.
No problem. I did enjoy the dead squirrel scene.
Yes.
That made me laugh. And where did you get your extras for that? You just called a bunch of people over and said, hey, I need you. And what are the dead squirrels? Stuffed animals?
They are that I got from the Oriental Trading Company, I think. And yeah, that scene, just the squirrels cost me like $75.
Each? And it was, for all of them?
No, oh, okay. all the squirrels together. And, you know, my husband, like, this was towards the end because this wasn't written into the script. This was just an idea I had.
Well, you needed it. No, I think you need the dead squirrel scene.
I was like, we need this, exactly. And I think the dead squirrel scene is like many, many people's favorite scene out of the entire movie.
It's mine too. My beginning. The beginning, that opening dance number was probably my favorite, but dead squirrels would be too.
Okay.
I just love that music.
Yeah.
So where did you get the extras? Or is that the crew?
No, those were just some of my neighbors and friends who came out that day. They aren't even, you know, and here's the place that, you know, I was OCD, but I just had to let it go because it was the 4th of July that day. And they, in the story, but it wasn't the 4th of July in reality. And nobody came with red, white, and blue on.
Right.
What are you people doing in tie-dye?
Oh, that's funny. You know what? It didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't occur to anybody else.
Well, now if I ever rewatch, I'd be like, hey, that seems wrong. But no, I missed that totally.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the days really matter in this film because it's kind of just moving. There's no real reason to have anything done by a certain date, so I probably wouldn't have focused on it anyway.
Right.
So
yeah. No, go ahead.
My last thing is the last line in the movie, the musical theater comment. Was that just thrown in, or is that something you thought about for the theater? I thought it was like, maybe you're thinking long term for the plans for there.
Yeah, the musical theater line was really a way to give Lonnie his dream in the end. Yeah. In just the smallest and most modest of ways. But even in that, his little dreams are going to come true.
Yes. I definitely take that. Now, I have a question. Why did Lonnie hook up with the girl behind the movie theater, the blonde?
Well, he and Sarah have worked together for years in that movie theater. And they've just always, you know, liked each other.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a romance forming there. I definitely took that.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
I wanted more of Sarah, actually. I quite enjoyed her. I wanted a little bit more, but there's nothing. I only see her occasionally.
I know. I feel the same way. I would have liked her. And I think we had to cut one scene with her. After the first edit, I think we had like 3 hours of filming.
Of course you do. Absolutely you do. Nope, that's normal.
Yeah, so we had to start chopping things. One of the things that I was really sorry to lose at the beginning was the prologue, which I ended up at the last minute putting into the credits, and that was supposed to be a young Evelyn listening to her parents fight about money.
Oh, okay.
And she's the one who puts that bride inside the birdcage.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that is, I think, the one scene that we cut that I really wish we had never cut from the beginning.
Okay. Now, how did you feed your cast and crew? That's my favorite question.
The cast and crew, how did I get them?
No, get them, feed them, give me it all to me.
Oh, yeah, feeding them. Man, these people eat.
I know. This is my favorite comic. I always want to know how you feed people because I've heard different stories. So.
Well, some of it was, most of it was local. It was a couple of, like we had a couple of small diners that provided food. And then it was, you know, the nurse, the person who plays Nurse Pruitt.
Yes.
She was not originally in the film, but she offered to make like 3 big meals for us for 3 days if I could write her in.
That's
and
awesome.
So I did.
See, those are good stories. That's why I ask these questions, so I get fun
yes.
stories like that. Now we have to ask,
yeah.
is the food good? Can she cook?
She can cook. She's Armenian.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah. No. She, in fact, it was really hard for us to go back to regular food after she catered for us for those 3 days.
That's great. Now, how did you find your actors? Did you have auditions or did you just knew them?
I did have auditions. The Connie Lamoth, who plays the lead, she is also a casting director.
Okay.
And so she set up an audition and, you know, we went and picked, I would say like maybe 50-60% of the cast that way. And then the other 40% kind of came to me in different ways. Like, for example, Margot is my daughter.
Uh-huh.
I know people think I cast her because she was my daughter, but that is not true.
Well, I wouldn't have known that because I only look at the first couple of credits. I really don't go through them all. I just usually write down character names because it's easier for me to remember. Well, your daughter's good, so you must have had her whooped into shape because I thought Margot did an excellent job.
She never broke character. Yeah, and Madeline's a natural actress, and so there weren't any problems with that. And then a couple of the other cast members, like we lost our first Gregory when we had started shooting already.
Oh.
And yeah. And so a couple of the cast members knew of Tony Villa, and Tony was free and he stepped in completely cold and did that part.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So whose pool is that then? Is that the same house with the pool? And Margot must be loving that pool.
Yes, that was the Ferguson's house. And again, just such generosity opening it up for us. We didn't film in the house. We used all the grounds for.
Yes, I definitely didn't think you used the interiors of that house because I don't remember seeing it. I'm like, I think I would notice that house inside.
Yeah. No, but the exterior was just gorgeous.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Okay, well, now it's time for fun questions, because I don't think you've ever heard me interview, so I'm good to go.
Great.
Because you didn't listen to them. I know you haven't, because I just can tell. So, favorite movie?
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Your favorite movie?
Oh, my favorite? Oh, these are just like on-the-spot questions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Favorite movie is, what would I watch 100 times? Sabrina. I don't know.
Oh, it's a great film. Not the remake, yes. I hope. The original.
The original. Definitely okay. The original.
I just want to make sure we're on the same wavelength. I'm like, not that bad yes. Remake. Okay, good. It's Friday night. You have people over. They want to watch a movie. What do you pull off your shelf?
The Gladiator.
Wow. There you go. There's going to be some hardcore drinking during that one.
Yes.
And this one's really easy for you. You go to the movie theater, you go to the concession stand, what do you buy?
Twizzlers.
Oh, I love you. I can sit with you no problem. I love Twizzlers.
Great.
I absolutely enjoy Twizzlers with a passion. So I want to just ask you the last easiest question. It's about the film. What are you going to do with the film? Amazon Prime? Is it going to film festivals? The plan.
It finished the film festivals and did, I would say it did pretty well in small film festivals. And it was, I got a distributor for the film, Indie Rights. Yeah, I was totally, totally happy. It felt like I did the entire journey and I came out with a movie that is distributed.
That's
so
awesome.
It went on Amazon Prime on the 15th of December.
Okay.
And reviews and ratings are probably the best way to support the film and to support indie filmmaking.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's free on Prime.
Okay.
I don't know if I said it was free.
It's free. So, it's all good. I want to thank you for your time. You were awesome. You answered everything perfectly. So, great.
Well, thank you. I get nervous during interviews.
Oh, you're nervous. I can hear it.
I know.
I'm letting it go. I'm trying to coax you. I'm just leave you alone, let you talk, let you be nervous. It's all good.
I know. I do much better behind, I guess, a camera than in front of a microphone or a camera.
It's all good. You have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. You too. All right.